Well, welcome to episode 44 of GeoTalk. It's a special edition because we're on the road heading down to Canberra and we're travelling with WebGuy. It's currently about 7:30 in the morning. I've been travelling for 2 hours now since 5:30. Neil joined me at 6 and it's a 3-hour drive to Canberra, so we're halfway there. The plan is to do some maintenance on one of my caches and then we're going to check out to see how many we can do in the Canberra region in a 24-hour period. So join us along the way as we travel around the ACT, seeing how much we can pick of Canberra's finest. All right, well, while we take a stop on the road down to Canberra, a quick update on Wagga 2010 mega event. The big news is that more than 500 people have pledged that they're attending the event. So officially, or according to Groundspeak's guidelines, it is going to be a mega event. So congratulations to everyone who's pledged that they'll be attending. And it certainly will be exciting. They're just waiting now for the 12-month limit because you can't put a mega event until less than 12 months beforehand. So check out the website, the Groundspeak website, probably in about a month or two time. Then you can put your will attend notice on the Wagga 2010 mega event, which will be held in Easter next year. Well, after 4 hours of driving from Sydney, I finally made it down to Gudgeonby Gander, which is one of my first geocaches that I hid back in 2004. And it's the first time I've been back to... Well, I've been to this place before, but it's the first time I've actually come down and do some maintenance on it. And I had a few logs over the last few months suggesting that the logbook was a little bit damp, and I had a look at the photos of the cache and realised it was an old... fruit container that I used, which I used back in the days when I was first geocaching. Of course, I've graduated and woken up now and used the good old ammo cans and the Systemas. So I've brought down a new ammo can with a bit more swag in it and some new logbook to put in with it as well. Anyway, Neil's logging away his find, which brings him up to 1,999. So after this one, it's his big milestone cache. But before we head down there, I've got a bit of audio from Brisbane. You might recall in the last episode, I gave you some audio from the CETO event being held in Bundina, which was down south of Sydney. Well, there was a CETO event also in Brisbane. And this is from Troy, also known as Ghost Gums, and he's speaking to Peter, which is Geoffs Cofix, I think it is, G-E-F-S-C-O-F-I-X, about the event that him and his daughter Emily, post-haste, organised in Brisbane.
Well, for some years my family's come out for Clean Up Australia Day. We've done this Gap Creek Road for quite a while. I've got to give credit to Post Haste, my daughter Emily, who conceived the idea of running a CITO event. She'd been involved in one in Guam and was impressed with the fellowship and the commitment to do the job and just help to clean up Australia. Each time we get out to do it, we're appalled by the amount of rubbish out here, and it was just wonderful to have such a great group of guys along today to help out and clean up part of Australia.
Well, thanks to Ghost Gums for that little bit of audio. Well, we're going to head back into the car now and head off to an Earth cache a little bit down the road and find Neil's 2000th. We'll catch you in a sec. Well, here we are sitting on a big pile of granite tors out near Mount Bobion, which is almost in the middle of the ACT. And we've just found Neil's 2000th cache, an Earth cache which was nearby. Congratulations, Neil, on joining the 2 kilo club.
Yeah, thanks for that. It's I didn't know what to expect when you chose this one for the 2000th cache, because I decided, bugger it, I can't pick one myself. So I'm actually sitting here quite enjoying the views from up here.
Yeah, look, it's a great little spot to come to because, I mean, Canberra is renowned for putting caches on the top of just about every peak that's in this area. And this, I mean, it's not a physical cache, it's an earth cache, but it is a nice little peak and it does give you a good view of the surroundings. And we can see just sort of to the west is Bimbury Peak, which is the tallest peak in the ACT, and we can see a few of the others, Mount Gingera, look back towards Tibimbilla Peak, and where my cache is hidden, and then we're looking over the valleys as well. What are your impressions of the bush around Canberra, Neil?
We were actually just talking about it, and I was just saying it is completely different to the Blue Mountains, because they're a lot more sharper and much more cliffage rather than... Is there such a word as cliffage?
I'll go with cliffage.
Today. We're going with cliffage. And I was actually just sitting here thinking this actually reminds me more of Warrumbungles, although not as high, but more undulating and not a severe type terrain like we have in the Blue Mountains, but very pretty up here, especially this time of the day. It's not too hot yet, and there's no real haze setting yet. There's still some fog way out in the distance there, maybe, or some low cloud. But it's quite pretty.
Yeah, and I mean, I left Canberra a few years ago, and it was...
I heard you were kicked out.
I was kicked out. Yeah, some people tried to run me out. But 6 years ago, it was just before I started caching, the bushfires went through this area and burned out a large portion of the ACT, including almost all of the National Park. And I'm sitting here now 6 years later, and it's just incredible how it's almost all regrown. And I suppose if you speak to an ecologist, they'll tell you that there's still a long way to go. But certainly it's very hard to even see blackened tree stumps. There's not that many around. But certainly a beautiful area. Going back to geocaching, though, Neil, I mean, 2,000 caches. You must have had a few memorable ones in that time.
Yeah, I was also thinking about that as well. And the one that really springs to mind is probably Wild Dogs. I did that with Wingnut a while ago now. And that was just one of the most memorable walks I've ever done. It was nearly 30 kilometres, and the views at the end of that were just well worth it, even though the pain on the way back wasn't. But we've certainly done a lot of different caches in different locations around Australia with the family, and that's what it's all been really all about for me, is spending time with the family and going to places we normally would have never heard of or never visited, or learning about history that you just wouldn't know existed. And it's just... I mean, caching just takes you everywhere, and it's just awesome.
Yeah, look, I agree. And I think one of the other aspects, too, is that you get together with like-minded people who enjoy going walking or enjoy hunting for Tupperware, and you get some good friendships to come out of it. And I think, moving up to Sydney, it's great meeting you and being able to come back to my old neck of the woods and show you around some of the spots. And I think that's one of the great things about caching, too. Well, 2,000 down, you must be looking forward to the 3,000 now. What else are you planning over the next few months or years geocaching?
I was actually just thinking about what you said just then about you coming up to Sydney and meeting me, and I was just thinking the first thing I did is I threw you off a cliff. That's got to say something.
That's true, and you've been trying to throw me off many others since, and I'm still around.
I've been trying to throw you off higher ones ever since, but you won't come at it. But... I don't know. I mean, I think I've changed a lot. I mean, we've been caching 5 years in a month and a bit, and we had our I had my feral stage where it was just all gung ho, got to get there, got to do as many as you can, that sort of thing. But I think I've mellowed a hell of a lot over the last 18 months, maybe even 2 years. And you know, it doesn't bother me if I don't go for periods of time without doing a cache. But it's nice to get out and do a few now and then. But these days I'm sort of looking for the quality, which is sometimes getting harder to find than just going out and doing cache after cache after cache, which funnily enough we are going to do this weekend, so I'm told.
Yeah, look, it's been the same for me, particularly in the last 12 months with Isaac coming around, and that, family slows you down. But I think when you do slow down, as you say, you start to appreciate some of the better ones and target some of the more quality caches that are in your area. And that sort of leads us into our next bit of audio, talking about quality caches. For the last few years now, the ACT have had their Cache of the Year awards, and certainly attracts a lot of entries and raises the bar or the standard of caching in this area. And here's some audio from the 2008 ACT Cache of the Year awards.
We tallied the votes this morning. We have some winners. Alright, so we'll start with the category number 5 and work our way up to the big one. So the winner, the runner-up for best first cache in a year goes to Meerkat for Isabella Stash. The winner 15, so they got quite a good lead on the other team, and they pretty much led from the start. Best photo. A lot of good photos this year. When we opened up, went to close nominations, we didn't have very many. We started to panic that this category wasn't going to happen, and then all of a sudden they all came in. So runner-up for best photo goes to Rex Trex for Rabbit Proof Fence. Now, it's always a bit of a worry when we have to do this. I do have the tally sheets to make sure, so if anyone wants to check, make sure there wasn't any cheating. Best photo actually went to us for off for a weekend sailing. Most regional. The winner for most original was a special spiral. I was the big one. The winner for best location. The runner up was Secret Squirrel with Garden of Quiet Contemplation. Now, someone asked me yesterday if the awards were going to be like last year. I did say no, and I did say that I didn't think that the kids got anything. However, it turns out I was wrong. The winner for best location is Tank Engine with Legoland 2. Cage of the Year this year. Another nice close one. We have two runners up for Cage of the Year this year. And they are The Wildebeest for Corroboree Park 2. And Shadow and Thor for Shadow of My Former Self. And the big one for this year, the winner of Cage of the Year. And this was an absolute blitz of a win. The winner of this got 18 points. The two runners up got 10, so it beat by 8 points. Pretty much from an early stage. It got the lead and kept the lead. And it goes to Tilby for Tilby's Revenge.
Well, that's the winners of the ACT Cache of the Year for 2008. Now, thanks to Ian, also known as Canberra Bushwalker, for that, and congratulations to Tilby on taking out the first prize. Well, we're on our way back to Canberra after finding the Earth Cache over at Mount Boobion, and we're at another Earth Cache location, which is at Honeysuckle Creek. And it's actually regarded as the centre point of the ACT. But more importantly, it's the home of the former Honeysuckle Creek tracking station. Now, those of you who know a little bit of history and know of space history, back in 1969, on July the 21st, Australian time, this site was used to relay pictures from the moon of Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin walking on the surface.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Now, of course, a little bit of controversy about 30 years later when a film came out called The Dish, and it's featured Sam Neill and was all about the Parkes radio telescope. Now, just to clear up a little bit of history, Parkes was used to receive pictures from the moon, but the actual first 10 minutes of the moon walk, which included Neil Armstrong's step, was actually relayed via this tracking station that used to be here at Honeysuckle Creek. And it was only 10 minutes later that the moon was in line of sight of Parkes. So anyway, I'm actually standing here now where the 26-metre antenna used to be. Of course, the whole facility was shut down in the mid-1980s after NASA decided to consolidate all its resources over at Tibbimbilla, which, as most listeners know, is where I worked for a while, at the space tracking station there. And you can actually still see the antenna. It's still operational over at Tibbimbilla, just a few kilometres north of here. But if you ever come down to the ACT, you should make a trip down. It's about half an hour south, maybe a little bit more, south of the city, And there's a great camping ground where you can actually pitch a tent, stay overnight. There's a small fee for staying here. There's quite a few caches in this area, including this Earth Cache, and you can wander around and read some of the stories of what was up here back in the 1960s and 70s into the early 80s. Anyway, we're now got to try and find the last bit of information for this Earth Cache. We've got to go find a granite boulder. There's a whole heap to choose from. And then we're going to head off to Canberra to see how many caches we can rack up. Well, we're heading towards the end of our first day racing around Canberra, seeing how many caches we can find. The pace has been steady, probably not as fast and frenetic as we hoped, but we seem to be picking up more later in the night than we did earlier today. I think we've passed the 30 mark from when we started counting at 2 p.m. this afternoon, and we've just stopped in for the dinner of champions, McDonald's, where we're having a bit of a break and just having a look at the map to see where we're at. Neil, how have you found the caching adventure so far?
A hell of a lot of micros. Only one ammo box so far.
Yeah, it's... I suppose it's not surprising given that when we filtered... We had to do a filter, of course, on what sort of caches we were going to be finding while we're here, and we sort of limited ourselves to about a terrain two, but it is still quite surprising how many micros there are, very tiny micros, and some of them have been a little
clever.
Bit too... Yeah, some of them have been clever. Some of them have been a bit too difficult, a bit too hard, particularly the ones in parks, in playgrounds. They're just...
The Eclipse tin has certainly moved in.
Yeah, Neil was saying the Eclipse tin, which is synonymous with Brisbane, seems to have made its way down here, particularly with a set of caches that are down in the Western Creek area. But anyway, we've been impressed. We're up in Belconnen. We found a couple of Fours caches. Four always seems to put out some fairly good ones, and you can tell that over the last few years that she's been caching, her containers are being more and more creative. So it's been a lot of fun there. So yeah, we're going to recharge, then try go for another 2 hours around Western Belconnen, and see what numbers we get up before the end of the night. Have a sleep, and then see how we go in the morning and what we can do then. But we're aiming for a particular mark, and hopefully we'll hit that sometime tomorrow. Well, in the last episode, I talked a little bit about netbooks and the review that was in Choice Computer Magazine. Well, Choice have now put out a review of GPS car units, and it's just come out online, and I'll give you a link in the show notes to that. But it's interesting to note the top four GPS units that they recommend are the TomTom Go 930, which retails for $849, the TomTom XL, which is $399, the Uniden Trax 436 for $400, and the Garmin 265WT for $549. Now, all of those units use the Where Is map, which is from Census, and I'm not surprised that TomTom came out on top. I did a review of units about 18 months ago when I was working as a technology writer, and I must agree, TomTom does have a very user-friendly interface, and also the voice instructions are quite good. So check that out in the show notes or go to choice.com.au. Well, as Neil just said, it's the morning after the night before, and I thought we did pretty well in the long run. We finished up at about 20 past 12. How did you think we went towards the latter part of the night?
Yeah, we started picking up. I know it's not about the numbers, but we had a pretty good day yesterday considering what time we got down here, and we already been kicking along for about an hour this morning, and we're sitting on top of a hill, funnily enough, in Canberra, as you do, and... It's going to be another bloody nice day today.
Yeah, look, this is a great time to go caching down in Canberra around the sort of March-April period. And for those of us who are from the coast, we find that it's not quite as hot, not quite as humid, and so you can work a little bit harder. But as Neil said, we're sitting on the top of another hill, and it seems that every cache in Canberra is pretty much on a hill, although not really. It's probably the other way around. Every hill has a cache on top of it.
has the word four in it.
Or has the word four in it. And four is one of the most prolific caches I've ever come across. I think after this trip, she's going to be on the top of the list of caches that I've found. So we've got another sort of 2 or 3 hours at least that we're going to work around in Canberra today. We've made no secret of the fact that we're going for a record. And we're going to see if we can get the most number of caches found in the ACT in a 24-hour period. So we're hoping we can do that before lunchtime today, and then we'll head up back to Sydney. What's that you found?
Oh, just watching a spider catch a fly in a web up there.
Oh, excellent. So there
your travel bugs belong to us.
We've seen quite a bit of wildlife down here. Actually, we saw a mangy fox yesterday.
Eagle.
We saw a large eagle. We saw a couple of wallabies and kangaroos. And Neil pointed out some dead pigeons that were on the side of the road. That was quite fascinating as well.
I haven't seen any caches in the wild yet, which is surprising me, actually. But then again, they probably don't get up this early.
Well, it's 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, and we're pretty much wrapping up now our trip around the ACT, picking up as many caches as we can. The good news is we think we've set a new record for the number of caches found in this territory. So we've set a new benchmark. We'll leave you guys to discover exactly how many there are, as Neil has now recovered another mystery cache. It's full of mystery, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we'll give you a bit of an update and wrap up the show as we head back up the Hume Highway. But before we do, as we mentioned in each episode, we appreciate you sending in your geocaching tips and tricks and how you find things easier when you go out caching. And this next tip is from Pagelboy down in Wollongong, and a packet of fire tacks are going out in the mail courtesy of geocachestore.com.au, and we thank them for sponsoring this particular segment. So if we've got one packet left, so if you've got a geocaching tip that you'd like to send in, whether it's got to do with GSAC or using the website or even just for your backpack, I know Neil's got one, so you better get your entry in before he does. So I don't want it now, Neil. So you can win that last packet of fire tacks courtesy of geocachestore.com.au. Well, anyway, here's Pagelboy with his tip.
Hi, it's Pagelboy here, and I have a very good tip that I recommend that you all need. Well, my tip is you should put a screwdriver in your caching bag, because I recently went caching and I found a cache, but we couldn't open it because you need the screwdriver. I was so annoyed. Yeah, so bring a screwdriver with you when you go caching.
Well, it's 5:45 on a Sunday afternoon, getting into evening time, and it's coming towards the end of this special Geo Talk podcast as we're heading back into Sydney at the end of a weekend, a bit of a mad dash run around Canberra. Neil, how did you think we went in the end?
Quite busy. I think we did okay. I'm pretty sure that we managed to beat the unofficial or official record for down there. Not by many, but hey, we only went down to beat it, so that's the main thing.
Yeah, look, we got to... now the hard task is having to log all the fines and the DNFs. So, actually, well, that's an interesting question. I mean, do you log your DNFs? And I'd be interested, those who have done a cache run such as this, to what extent you do. I mean, we probably had about half a dozen, maybe a few more that we didn't find, and there are a few that we just got to the area. They were in a playground and there were too many people around, so we sort of avoided that. But overall, I'm pretty confident that we've beaten the mark that was set 2 years ago in the ACT, and I'm sure someone down there, whether it's a local or from interstate, is going to give it a go, because it's not that high a mark, and certainly with a little more gusto and effort and preparation, you could beat it quite easily. So when's your next cache run? When do you think it's going to be, Neil?
When I've caught up on some sleep.
That could be a long time. We haven't had a great deal. Anyway, well, that's it for this particular episode of Geo Talk. Don't forget, we'd love to get your emails and feedback and voicemails and so forth. drop us a line at geotalk@mac.com or give us a call on 02 800 50 436. And don't forget to visit the website at www.geotalkpodcast.com. Well, in our next episode, when we get back to normal, we'll catch up on what's happening with the Wagga 2010 event and the creators behind the Walk Like a Geocacher audio, and find out what they've got in the works down there in the Copper Coast. Until next time, safe geocaching. That's the treat. I mean, for me as well, everyone knows that since I've had little Zach arrive just over a year ago, caching has slowed down. I'm just going to wait for that wind to go.
Sorry.
That's happening.